This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:04 in the evening, and as promised, given that we're just a few hours away from the brand new year, we thought it would be nice to go through a selection of delightful stories that have happened this year.
Yep, and maybe just to be slightly contrarian, we're starting off with a worldwide argument that had people shrieking at each other from both sides. Why are we including such thing in our list of delightful news, you might ask? Well, because it's all about Yanni versus Laurel. You may remember this.
All right, how many of you have heard of this Laurel and Yanni thing? Okay. All right, not the comedy duo. They stopped touring years ago. The old Yanni and Laurel. All right, I'm talking about the viral sound that is tearing the nation apart. Listen carefully to this, and then you're going to tell me if you hear Laurel or Yanni.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Okay, how many people hear Laurel? How many people hear Yanni? Yeah! Again, yelling does not make more of you. You still are not as many people as the correct people, which are Laurel. It is Laurel. It's Laurel. Now, Laurel. It's so easy. It's Laurel. So more of you hear Laurel. The people who hear Yanni, I'm going to have to ask you to leave because it's crazy, though, isn't it? I mean, we can hear the exact same thing and then hear something completely different.
Okay, so first things first, please let us know. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Do you hear Yanni or Laurel? I have to say that when it first came out, all I could hear was Yanni, and that was reflected just now when I was kind of looking for a little bit of audio, basically that clip of Ellen that you just heard. When I was looking for that to put it on the show, all I could hear again was Yanni. And then when I revisited it after I'd edited, all I could hear was Laurel. So it's a very strange thing. And just now as it played on our studio speakers, Yanni, again, it's strange.
For me, it's both, but I think more with this recent listening, it's Yanni. But I don't know. In the past, it just depended on when I listened to it that seemed to change whether I heard Laurel or Yanni.
Mr. Tan says Yanni. So at least there is that. I think that there is, it's one of those things, every year there seems to be one of these that comes along and just completely divides people. I think there was, of course, that famous optical illusion dress before this.
Yeah, that happened in 2015, the whole gold-blue dress controversy. So similar to this one, I kind of, you know, after the dress controversy, I kind of moved on with all these, you know, what do you hear or what color do you see on this item?
You lost interest?
I just lost interest and I got tired.
Oliver says, I heard Yanni, but I used to hear Laurel. Mr. Tan says, play it again. We would, but unfortunately, we did not have the shorter clip. We'll have to go look for that. But in the meantime, the thing is, though, there is a scientific explanation for this. Here's neuroscientist Tyler Perricone explaining to Wyatt's Louise Matsakis why we hear Yanni or why we might hear Laurel.
So what's going on? So why do I hear Laurel, but you hear Yanni?
The clip is distorted, so it has a lot of high-frequency information in it, more than usual, and I just might be better at hearing these high frequencies than you.
What about a scenario where one day someone hears Yanni, but the next day they hear Laurel? Why is that happening?
That's mysterious, and that plays into our expectations and what we've just heard before. I was just across the river with some friends at MIT this morning, and we were playing with the sound, and I heard Yanni, 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 Laurel. And then it wouldn't stop sounding like Laurel to me. Just like that. The same clip, we didn't change anything, it just switched. In psychology, they call this a bistable illusion. It's a technical word for you can hear it one way or you can hear it another way. And what makes you hear it one way or the other when everything else is controlled is a total mystery.
What are some of the other reasons that people might hear a difference? Like, why do you always hear Yanni, but I always hear Laurel?
It turns out that the different speech sounds we hear depend on what frequencies are in those sounds. So some sounds that we make, like ah and mm, have a lot of low-frequency information in them. And sounds like e or s have a lot of high-frequency information in them. And the difference between Laurel and Yanni is whether the information is low-frequency, like Laurel, or high-frequency, like Yanni. So a sound like ya at the beginning of Yanni has some high-frequency information in it, but that distinguishes it from a sound like lol in Laurel. So if you're looking at a clip like this one, where the high frequencies have been emphasized because of the distortion, it's going to have some people hear those high frequencies and think the speech is different than what it really is. But some people have trouble hearing high frequencies, either because they're getting older, or they went to a lot of rock concerts, or they're in an environment that's noisy, or they're listening on headphones that aren't very good. And anything out there that takes the high frequencies out of the signal is going to emphasize those low frequencies and let people hear Laurel like there is in the original clip.
So interestingly, there seems to be a difference then between me hearing it even on my laptop versus me hearing it in our studio, even though I'm using the same headphones. So it's just one of those things. We've had a couple of requests to hear it again. So the question here is, do you hear Yanni or do you hear Laurel? Here we go.
Laurel. Laurel.
What do you hear now?
Laurel.
Yeah, all I hear is Laurel. Let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Bal says, I hear Laurel and only Laurel. And we have a couple. Dalila saying, my husband and I are now in the same car. He hears Laurel, but I hear Yanni. This is what we're in the business in. We are in the business of creating arguments and tearing people apart, apparently, even in our delightful news segment. Mr. Tan says, oh my God, now it's Laurel. yeah, so please weigh in. Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Maybe at the end we'll have a total and just see where we end up. And now moving on.
Yep. To other much less odd but equally delightful news, Jacinda Ardern, New Zealand's Prime Minister, was the first world leader to attend the United Nations General Assembly meeting with her baby in tow.
This unexpected scene in the audience Monday at the 73rd UN General Assembly may end up doing more good than all those big political speeches combined. Meet 3-month-old Nev Te Aroha Ardern Gayford, daughter of New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, the second world leader to give birth in office, and now the first to bring her baby to the United Nations, complete, of course, with her own baby name tag.
The question is it okay for a PM to take maternity leave while in office? Okay.
You could call it a canny political moment for Ardern.
It is totally unacceptable in 2017 to say that women should have to answer that question.
Who rose to power last year defending the rights of working mothers and then promptly became a working mother herself. But at a time when women are still fewer than a quarter of all national elected officials worldwide, it's obvious why these pictures matter.
So Ardern is the first to admit that she has many advantages that most new parents don't have, being in a position of power, being able largely to set her own diary with flexibility to accommodate the feeding schedule of a newborn baby. Nevertheless, it does send a pretty powerful message and opens up conversations about women in leadership roles and parents at the workplace.
Ardern isn't the only elected leader to have a baby while holding the title of Prime Minister. Former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto was actually the first world leader to give birth while in office when she had a baby girl in January 1990.
Another world first for women also happened in Saudi Arabia this year.
Just after midnight in Riyadh, and a piece of history is about to be made. A perfectly normal act in every other country in the world, but until now, not in Saudi Arabia. Ujdin Al-Atik takes the wheel of the family car and drives into the street.
All I can think about, I can still do my own stuff. I don't have to ask for anyone to take me around. And that's a very important, you know, for us to drive. Okay, maybe a lot of us don't need to drive. But for me, I used to drive. I used to do my own stuff. So I'm not used to someone to drive me around.
Wow, I'm so excited. I'm so happy. Honestly, I can't express my feelings. I haven't been sleeping for 2 days just thinking about this moment. And today we're actually on the roads, driving. People are waving. They're so happy. I'm so honored. It's an amazing feeling.
Enjoying the freedom of the city, this change has been a long time coming.
And in a triumph closer to home, Malaysia bagged 17 gold medals in our best ever Asian Para Games outing, with Siti Nor Yassah delivering our first gold medal when she won the women's 400 meters T20 final in 58.69.
Mas pertama, sila tolong jaga apa, tapi saya buat ni untuk negara, untuk keluarga saya, mak ayah, mak abah, mama dan adik-adik saya juga sepupu-sepupu saya, terutama kali saya nak ucapkan kepada suami saya terima kasih kerana bagi saya sokongan moral, dan juga kepada anak saya Nur Iman Kasara. Saya buat ni semua untuk keluarga dan Malaysia.
We've been looking back at a small selection of fun little stories that happened this year. Earlier, we were talking about the great Yanni versus Laurel debate. Just to recap, or rather just to play you 3 seconds of a very confusing piece of audio. Here it is again.
Laurel. Laurel.
So we've been asking you to let us know what you hear. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Khadija says Laurel. Alan says Yanni, then Laura. Lee Kam Long wants to know, what is the spelling of the word? And the thing is, while that would be a great starting point to try and actually understand the pronunciation, nobody knows because it's just this weird little piece of audio that started circulating. So no one knows exactly what the word is, but apparently it's only either Yanni or Laurel. Lok says, what the hell? I only hear Laurel. Toast says, still Yanni with the replay. Ollie, who said, I heard Yanni, but I used to hear Laurel, says, all Laurel this time. It's sorcery. And earlier we heard from a husband and wife who were hearing different things. And now they're saying the second clip, we both hear Laurel. And this message here from Janice saying, so spooky. At first Yanni, then now Laura. Noralina says, the first time you played it, the long version, I heard Yanni. The second time, Laurel. So it's just, it's a never-ending thing.
It's so frustrating because my third time re-listening to it, I think I heard Laurel instead of Yanni. But then the first time we heard it, I heard Yanni.
It's never ending. I do think that that scientific explanation that came through just now was interesting, that it's to do with frequency, that it's to do with where you're listening to it. But I mean, to have two people in one car listening to it and hearing different things is just creepy. Anyway, up next, we're going to be taking a look at what's been happening in the world of science. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And before we move on to our roundup of, kind of fun scientific news in 2018, Lucas just said, first time Laurel, second time Yanni. Is it based on the starting point of what you listen? And the answer to that, I think, is basically no, because it's only a 3-second clip. So it's really based on what you're listening from and what you can hear. Amar says, I'm only hearing slow news day. And touche, it is. But it is also New Year's Eve, so it felt as good a time as any to look back. And on that point, today we're focusing on, like we said, interesting but perhaps lesser known stories that nevertheless made the year a cause for celebration, at least at some spots. There were a few discoveries in science to talk about, starting with literally the biggest one, the Oumuamua. The Oumuamua is the first ever interstellar object to be detected in our solar system. And the name, when roughly translated in Hawaiian, means first time visitor from far away.
Yep. And full disclosure, astronomers actually discovered this at the end of 2017. But because the conversations and coverage only really started picking up in 2018, we're putting it on the list. Although a lot of the questions being asked about Oumuamua still haven't been answered, like where does it come from, what it's made of, and whether it's carrying a whole spaceship of aliens.
One can hope. Astrophysicists, though, are trying hard to find out. Two Harvard astrophysicists have just published a paper suggesting that Oumuamua could indeed be a type of alien ship. Tech Insider spoke to one of the scientists about why it's a peculiar object unlike any other.
Most astronomers think that Oumuamua is probably a stray comet from another stellar system. The only problem is that it doesn't look like any comet we've ever seen, because it appears to lack that iconic tail.
There was an anomaly seen in the data, and it cannot be explained by the most conventional explanation, which in this case is a cometary outgassing. And so we propose an alternative interpretation, which is the only one I could think of.
But it seems extreme to assume aliens just because Oumuamua doesn't look like a comet, right? Not when the Harvard scientists accounted for another peculiarity. As Oumuamua traveled through our solar system, it didn't follow the normal path of a typical comet under the sun's gravity. Rather, it slightly shifted off course, which couldn't be explained by gravity alone. Something else, some unknown force, was also at play, manipulating the object's behavior.
I cannot think of any other possibility other than the outgassing that we find in comets, which seems to be ruled out because we don't see a cometary tail, or the pressure from the sunlight. There is no other proposal on the table right now.
Pressure from sunlight. It works similarly to how wind pushes against a sail on a boat. So too can sunlight push against a spacecraft to propel it through space. Incidentally, we call these spacecraft solar sails. There's just one catch. Pressure from sunlight is extremely light, lighter than the weight of a fly on your hand. Which means, in order for it to be effective, solar sails also have to be extremely light and thin. In 2010, for example, Japan's space agency launched its Icaros solar sail, which only weighed 1.1 pounds. But it eventually managed to travel over 65 million miles from Earth on just sunlight alone. And it's this type of force that the Harvard scientists think could be propelling Oumuamua.
We'll probably never know if it is an alien spaceship or probe. And because Oumuamua can't be captured into a solar orbit, it will eventually leave the solar system and resume traveling through interstellar space.
So we'll have to bid farewell to our new alien friend Oumuamua. But we can, in 2018, say hello to our earliest known ancestor who goes by the name Dickinsonia.
Dickinsonia is one of the oldest large creatures on Earth. It became up to 140 centimeters. It is simply a beautiful fossil. It was one of the first discovered ediacarans, and they hold the key between a microscopic world of bacteria and the world of large animals. The real nature of these ediacarans is the holy grail of paleontology. For 75 years, people have tried to figure out what these creatures actually were. And there were huge diversity of opinions. There could have been lichen, there could have been giant single-celled creatures, or there could have been animals in our earliest ancestors. And because they tell us something about our own origin, it is very important simply to know finally what they were. So Ilya discovered these organically preserved ediacarans and had the totally crazy idea to look for molecules in them to find out what they finally actually are. Looking at molecules in these ancient organisms is a game changer. Paleontologists exclusively look at the structure, at the morphology of organisms, of fossils. Looking for molecules inside these organisms is entirely new and gives us completely different and complementary information. The results are black and white. There's nothing to interpret. These creatures, in fact, produce cholesterol, which is the hallmark of animals, and it tells us this creature, in fact, was our earliest ancestor.
So yeah, this is a huge deal because only animals produce cholesterol, and the discovery of cholesterol in Dickinsonia makes it the earliest known member of the animal kingdom. And it doesn't even resemble an animal. It looks more like a very large microorganism. But Dickinsonia was living a good 20 million years before the Cambrian explosion, the era that produced animals with way more familiar anatomies and behaviors, such as creatures with shells, spines, thrashing limbs, and tooth-rimmed jaws that could trap and devour prey.
Another favorite science story of 2018 would have to be the brand new and improved kilogram. Since the late 18th century, scientists have based their definition of the kilogram, the fundamental unit of mass, on an actual physical object. But on November 16th, representatives from nearly 60 countries got together to vote to change that definition.
The kilogram is the last base SI unit to be defined by a physical object. Since 1799, 1 kilogram has been defined as exactly the mass of a single metal cylinder stored in Paris. But this international prototype kilogram, or Big K as it's affectionately known, has problems. I mean, weighing it with, in theory, identical cylinders, scientists have found that their masses are diverging, so it doesn't even seem to maintain its mass. Plus, it's really hard to get access to Big K, and that makes using this definition really difficult.
Scientists will redefine the kilogram for the 21st century by tying it to a fundamental feature of the universe, a small strange figure from quantum physics known as Planck's constant, a value that should hold up across space and time, which describes the smallest possible unit of energy.
This year also put the environment front and center, with awareness of single-use plastic and its environmental burden growing, so much so that Collins Dictionary selected single-use as its word of the year. Collins noted that awareness grew particularly after BBC's Blue Planet 2 highlighted the problem.
For years, we thought that the oceans were so vast that nothing we could do could have an effect upon them. But now we know that was wrong. It's now clear that our actions are having a significant impact on the world's oceans. Plastic has become an integral part of our daily lives. But every year, some 8 million tons of it ends up in the ocean. And there, it could be lethal.
The movement to ban single-use plastic has been growing, and as of July 2018, the UN Environment Programme and the World Resources Institute found that 127 out of 192, or 66% of the countries they surveyed, have implemented some type of policy to regulate plastic bags. Here in Malaysia, we've also begun doing our part, as Yeo Bee-in, the Minister of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change explains, while launching the roadmap towards zero single-use plastics 2018 to 2030.
By 2050, the world will have 10 billion people. We will face many challenges, and one of the biggest challenges is waste. In Malaysia, we have very low recycling rate. And not only in Malaysia, actually globally. Of all the plastics we use, only 9% of the plastics are recycled globally. So where are the other plastics go to? They can only go to two places. One is the landfill, because plastics last very long. Their life cycle is 50 to 500 years, depending on the type of product. One, they go into the landfill. Second, they go into the sea. How do we play a part in a world that is going to have a waste problem? So this is why we have the roadmap. The first phase, the state from 2019 onwards, some of the states are already doing, from 2019 onwards until 2021, will in each state start to, by phase, charge a pollution charge on plastic bags. Each state will collect through a local council. A local council will, by the way of licensing, mandate chain store, not the particular grocery shops or machine, chain stores, chain restaurants, big super hypermarket, big retailers, will we have to conform to this, that each and every state in Malaysia will have a pollution charge of carrier plastic bags. All right? So all your shopping bags, eventually the state will decide where they want to charge and how they want to charge.
So that is part of what we have to look forward to next year, us joining this movement to reduce and basically in the end just completely go without single-use plastics. And that has been a very quick sampling of some of the better news of 2018. Let us know what we missed. Were there any of your favourite news stories this year that made you happy? Let us know what they are. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.